If we can take a look again on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara is bothered by the word Ella in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Kol asvachim shenizbuchu shelo lishman ksherim Ella shelo alu lebaylim l'shem chova lamali lemisne Ella." The word Ella is not necessary, and it could have just said, "Lo alu lebaylim l'shem chov." It didn't have to add the word Ella. You know, we have a principle that the Mishnah doesn't add words that are superfluous. So the Gemara answers, "Hakamash malon." The extra word Ella teaches me lebaylim hu delo alu l'shem chova. Aval b'kedusha sayu kaimei. But nevertheless, the Kedushas HaKorban is not on the mind, and my nafkimina, the Gemara says, for Rav, also l'shanuyei bei, that from now on, meaning, let's say he did the Shechita Shalol l'shma, let's say Ol l'shem shlomim, now he continues with the Kabbalah Saddam, etc., etc., in the Zrika. So all of this has to be done l'shem Ola. In other words, he can't say, well, you know, I messed up in the Shechita, and the Shechita was done l'shem Shlomim, and therefore I'm going to go ahead and again repeat my error of time and time again. Ukidah Rava, D'yamah Rava, Ola sheshchata shelo l'shma, also lizrok dama shelo l'shma. You know, just because you made a mistake once, that doesn't mean you can make the mistake and repeat it a second time around. So that now, even after he's already established that the Karban was Shechted Shelo L'shma, nevertheless, he cannot repeat the Shelo L'shma. He's got to supply the L'shma in the subsequent Avodos. Let's take, for example, in Zrika. Now, at this point, the Gemara wants to know, what's the basis for Rava? Is he based on a Svara? Is he based on a Pasuk? So the Gemara says, Iboy same as Svara, Iboy same as Kra, the two possibilities. If you want to go with Svara, why is it that he has to supply a Machsheves Lishma after he started with a Machsheves Shelo Lishma? And the answer is, and the Gemara phrases this Svara like as a rhetorical question, you know, I'm going to present it in the absurd, the other possibility is absolutely absurd. He says, Mishum Deshaniba, since he made the mistake on the first avoda, let's say on the Shechita, he was Meshana, instead of having in mind L'shem Ola, he had in mind L'shem Shlomin. He's therefore Kolhani Lishneba Belezil, therefore he should again go through all the other avodos with the same Machshava Shalol Lishma. That's bad enough. Sort of like cut your losses, you know, damage control. You know, you did bad enough that you had a shinui of the kodesh at the point of shechita. Now you're going to exacerbate the problem, and again repeat all the other avodas with such a machshava shelo lishma. That's called a svara. Ibai same, the Gemara says, if you don't want to accept that svara, so it's really interesting. There's a havamina here to say that once you had a machsheva shelo lishma in the first avoda, you know it's a carte blanche. You know, you now have license, the green light to have machsheva shelo lishma again and again and again. And not only that, the Gemara is so convinced of that possible conclusion that the Gemara is going to say, I need a kra, I need a yalfusa. In the absence of yalfusa, I'm going to actually believe that once he had a shelo lishma on the first avoda in Shechita, he can go ahead and repeat the same mistake and have Shelo Lishma again and again and again. But we have a pasuk, and the pasuk says, "Motza sfasecha tishmar v'asisa kasher nadarta l'Hashem Elokecha." And then it says nidava. So it's very interesting. The pasuk starts with kasher nadarta, with a neder, and that's Harei Alai. And then it says nidava, which is Harei Zu. So how do we reconcile these two parts of the pasuk? So the Gemara says that Hai Nidava Nederu, how can you say it's a A nedava, you started off by telling me it's a neder. Those are two separate entities. Ella, the answer is that this karbon has the potential of being a fulfillment of his neder, but that's only if it was brought lishma. If we shalol lishma, then it transforms itself into a nedava. So the pasuk starts with a neder. And that's in the case of asisa kamosha nadarta, which means that the karbon was brought lishma. And then he fulfills his kasha nadarta. But in lo, let's say instead of having a machshava of lishma, he had in mind a shalol lishma, then the karbon loses its status as a neder. He has no longer fulfilled his obligation as a neder. And nedava yehe, but it becomes a karbon nedava. So it's interesting, now the carbon has its own status, not the original status as a neder, but now it takes on the status of a nedava. Now once the Torah has taught us that it's a nedava, okay, it's a carbon kosher, it's a nedava, but nevertheless, nedava mishari l'shnuyei bei, are we allowed to have a kavana of shalol l'shma in a hakrava of a zevach, which is called a nedava? And this is based on a Gemara later on in Daf Chav Tesamid Beis, that in general you're not allowed to have in any kodshim a machsheves psul, and the Gemara derives it from a pasuk in Vayikra Zayin. It says hamakriv oso lo yechashev, which prohibits him from having a machsheves psul. In this case, a machshav shelo lishma. And as far as an adov is concerned, an adov like any karbon comes under this halach of hamakriv oso lo yechashev, which means that you're not allowed to have a machshava poselis, a machshava of shalol lishma. So again, even though, as a result of the shechita shalol lishma, the karba now can no longer be a neder, it can't be a fulfillment of his obligation, but nevertheless it takes on a new status midway, you know, as soon as he finishes the shechita of shalol lishma, now what status does it have? It's a nedava. And as far as nedava is concerned, there's no difference between a neder and a nedava, makriv oso lo yechashev, that there's an iser of having a machshava shalol lishma in avodas hakarbon. So now when he gets up to the zrika, albeit it's a zrika of a nedava, but a zrika and a nedava also has to be lishma. A nedava doesn't fall shy of a neder as far as lishma is concerned. So Rabbi said, let's go back to Oman Aleph for a minute. I want to point out two words in the Gemara that we should really think about. The Gemara says that the word Ella in our Mishnah was added to teach me that even though it's lo olu lebailim l'shem chova, but nevertheless, Ella means that, you know, you're limiting it. You're limiting the psul here. The psul is only lo olu lebayil l'shem chova, but nevertheless, it still has the status of bikdusha sayu kaime. Do you see those two words in the Gemara? In other words, the kedushas karbon still is there. And that's the chiddush the Gemara pins on Rava. That Rava would say, you know, it's based on Rava, we can say that the word El is coming to teach me bikdusha sayu kaime. And therefore, Rava says that you can't be zorik the dam shalol lishma because kedusha also kaime. Now, we have to figure out what the hava mina here is. And it's, you know, the Mishnah adds the word Ella because of some mistaken possibility, mistaken hava mina. And what would be the hava mina? If the maskana here of the word Ella, the chiddush of the word Ella, the Gemara says, b'kedusha sayu kaime, then the hava mina apparently thought, lav b'kedusha sayu kaime. And that doesn't make any bit of sense, because take a look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that what's the status of this carbon that was shechted shalol lishma? It's kosher. Now if it's kosher, then how can you tell me, how can you entertain the idea, the possibility that it was lavik to shesayu kaimi? That, you know, the chiddush of the word Ella, the additional word Ella is what? Is b'kedusha sayu kaimi with the nafkimin of Rava that you can't go ahead and do the zrika sadam shalol lishma. What do you mean? I need the word Ella to tell me b'kedusha sayu kaimi? The word kosher tells me that's b'kedusha sayu kaimi. The carbon is kosher.
Yeah, but this is Yerida in the carbon, wasn't it? You're talking about from.
Well, Mishnah doesn't make that distinction. Just this low shema.
Because that's what I think that's what it's talking about.
Well, what do you mean by Yerida? You're talking about Noach?
Yeah. Right.
Well, wait a minute. We're not up to Novoch yet. I mean, again, I gave you shir on that topic yesterday, but that's right. You know, we don't know that. You know, now we're going back to the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah is the Shitas Chachomim. The Shitas Chachomim go in both directions. No matter whether it was Novoch or Gavoah, the same exact thing applies. The carbon is kosher, polo all the Bible and Shem Chobo. What I'm asking is, how can you tolerate A and not A at the same time? There are two opposites here that you have to maintain simultaneously. On the one end, you have to maintain that the carbon is kosher. That's what it says in the Mishnah. I didn't invent that. You can't blame me for that. And at the second time, and the second point is, lav b'kedushas sayu kaimi. That's not a kedushas carbon. And therefore, I can go ahead and have any machshav I want, even if I have a shalol lishman nizrika, that's not a problem. Comes along Rav and he says, no, you misunderstood the Mishnah. The Mishnah, when it said kosher, it didn't mean lav b'kedushasai karmi. It meant b'kedushasai karmi. Yeah. And how did the Mishnah convey that message? With the extra word, ella. If not for the extra word, ella, lav b'kedushasai karmi. That's the conclusion that I would have drawn.
Right.
But how do I know that conclusion is wrong? No, it's wrong. It's because you shasayu kaimi. How can you vacillate about this carbon one way or the other, whether it's because you shasayu kaimi or love because you shasayu kaimi? How do you even have a suffix about this issue? For sure it's because you shasayu kaimi. The Mishnah says explicitly that the carbon is kosher, even without the word Ella.
I think it's talking about, that's why it says Ella. Ella is telling you that you were talking about a carbon that was in a higher madriga.
Okay, Alan, if you want, you can go with that approach.
What I'm just saying, that's what Rob is saying.
No, again, we're talking about a case of legavah shebehem. Okay, yeah. I'll make life easier for yourself. Let's say it was a shlomim l'shem ola. Even in the case of shlomim l'shem ola, the Mishnah says that it's kosher, and therefore, how could I even question the premise of kedushas sayu kaimi? Is there any way of translating the word kosher in such a way that would allow me to say lav b'kedushas sayu kaimi? Yeah. As if to say, now I need the Ella to tell me b'kedushas sayu kaimi.
Because you could say
that was basically what we discussed yesterday. I think the Ella defines what kosher is. That means.
But what's the other possibility of the word kosher without the word Ella? That's what I want to say.
Kosher may very much be that lo alu lebalim.
No, that for sure it means. No, no, the Mishnah says explicitly lo alu lebalim.
Yeah,
but it's kosher.
But without the Ella,
yeah,
then we would have thought kosher, 100% kosher. Wait a minute, Zev.
Without the word Ella, we would have thought that the Kohen is allowed to do his Rika Shalol Lishma, and he doesn't violate any Isser of Lo Yechashev. Let's not change the Gemara. Again, you can say Svaras in and air, and I'm eager to hear your Svaras. But you can't change the Gemara. The Gemara says that if not for the word Ella, I would have assumed that you can go ahead and be Zorik the Dam Shalol Lishma. The Torah says that the Machshava Poselis is prohibited. That's a Lav Doraisa. A whole deal of whether you get Malkus for such a thing, you know. And the answer is that lav b'kedusha sayu kaimi. And if it's lav b'kedusha sayu kaimi, then he can go ahead and have his rik of shalol lishma. Well, what do you mean lav b'kedusha sayu kaimi? The Mishnah says it's kosher. As I state in the Mishnah, so the carbon is kosher.
When it says kosher, I would have thought it's not a kosher as the end. Like what? It's an adobo, like you said. It changes to
right.
Like, but Elokim says no, it's not. It's actually the original carbon you thought to bring. You thought it was going to. You were supposed to bring a shlomim. You did the shem ola. It's still a shlomim. It's still a shlomim, big dusha sayu, right, with all the principles that pertain to that, except it's not his shlomim.
No, but you feel, when we say kedusha sayu kaimi or lav kedusha sayu kaimi, we're not talking about the identity of the carbon. We're talking about whether it has kedusha or not.
No. What kedusha? What kedusha?
Does it have the kedusha that would include it under the lav of lo yichashiv? That's what we're vacillating about.
Right.
The Havamina was, forget about lo yichashiv. Lo yichashiv doesn't apply to this carbon. Why? Because lav kedusha sayu carbon, it's completely mufka from kedusha. And if it's mufka from kedusha, then there's no lo yichashiv. Lo yichashiv is halacha in kodshim. This is not kodshim. It doesn't have kedusha to it. It's lav kedusha sayu kaima. Kamash, well, the Mishnah tells you no. It's b'kedusha sayu kaimi, and if it's b'kedusha sayu kaimi, therefore it's nitvas, it's included in the Isra lav of lo yichashiv, which prohibits the kohen from having a machshav of shalol lishma. Why did the Gemara have a halamina here that lav b'kedusha sayv kaimi? Again, you're already in an advanced stage. What's the status of the korban?
But you're interpreting the iser of the kohen to have a machshava is only on a machshava from kedusha to chol.
Well, no, I didn't mean that. What I meant to say was that the precondition for the prohibition, the lav in the Torah that enjoins the kohen from having a machshava poseles, in this case it's shalol lishma, in other cases it could be, you know, chutzim zmano, chutzim komo, shina baila, whatever your machshava poseles is, all that is included in the lav of lo yichashi, but only if it's b'kedusha sayim kaimi. But, you know, it has the status of a carbon that's kosher. If it's not a carbon kosher, then if it's not a carbon kosher, I don't mean, forget about Bailum L'Shem Chov, I mean if it's not kosher at all, take the carbon and throw it in the garbage, right, because it's worthless and it doesn't have Kedusha, that's called Lav Kedusha Sayakaimi, then there's no Yisra Lav Lo Yichoshev. Kalmash Balon, the Mishnah tells you no, B'kedusha Sayim Karbon. But what I'm asking is, how can you at the same time maintain that the Karbon is kosher and then tell me La B'kedusha Sayim Kaimi? What do you mean La B'kedusha Sayim Kaimi? What does that mean?
Because the B'kedusha Sayim Kaimi or not B'kedusha Kaimi is depending on the Havamina is when you had a Machshava for a different Karbon.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Just that the sefer was falling onto my shoulders. Okay. That's it.
So if you had a machshava for a different korban, the havamina is that this korban becomes that lower that other korban, whether right. It's higher or lower, doesn't make any difference at this stage right now.
Right. But okay. Now we're holding in the shittas chachamim. Right. We're not talking about any difference whether it's up, right. Down.
That was the havamina. But Rav is coming to tell you that you can't do it that way. You can. But the hema cannot be just switched from being one thing to another thing like that. If what it is you're still mekayim everything that it would require that korban, then that's fine. Then it's then you're mekayim that korban even at the different stage. But if what happens, what you do is what you now are calling this korban falls short of what you would have to do for the korban the way it was originally intended. Then it's b'kedusha aser kaimi. The kedusha of that korban at the higher level remains, and you cannot get away from that.
Okay. So, Rav Bosai, again, I'm just going to present to you a thesis here from the Rosh Hashiva here, Nefesh Tov. This is where we're up to now, Chav Dal. Again, I couldn't figure out Chav Gimel. That I was not able to do, but at least I... Hakamashma, that's the Dibra Masla. You have it Chav Dal. Again, in my edition, it's on page Chav Hei. The Rosh Hashiva says the following: that the concept of Kedusha Sokaimi or Lav Kedusha Sokaimi has to do, this is his Chiddush, with what we call Hakrova. Hakrova means the following: that you go ahead and you do the avodas hakarbon, you makir the carbon on the mizbeach, and there are certain rules and regulations that apply to hakrova. One of them is lo yechashiv, that you're not allowed to have a machshava of shalol lishma. And he says the following: what lav b'kedusha sayim kaimi means is that there's a possibility that there's a different set of rules and regulations that apply to hakrova. There was never a hava meaning that the carbon is possible because the Mishnah itself says it's kosher. But the word kosher now separates or bifurcates into two different categories of hakrova. There's one set of regulations of hakrova, and that's the general set of regulations of hakrova. And then there's a new set of regulations of hakrova that's called Lav b'kedushayu karmi. Again, the carbon is kosher, and you have to be makar of the carbon. That was never a havamina that you wouldn't be makar of the carbon. But the rules and regulations that apply to this hakrava might be a different set of rules and regulations. What happens the moment that the kohen at the time of the shechita has a machsheves shalol lishma? At this point, there's a new set of regulations of hakrava that's set into motion. And those are the rules of hakrova shalol lishma. Meaning, again, the carbon is kosher. But a carbon that has a shalol lishma element to it is now governed by a new set of regulations. And those regulations are such that another machshav of shelo lishma would not apply. In other words, the prohibition and the law of lo yichashev no longer applies. Why? Because the Torah sets up a whole new set of regulations that apply to a hakrova of a karban that shelo lishma. The shelo lishma, even though it's kosher, but now it changes the whole nature of the hakrova. Where do we find a source for this? So this, you might take a look. I think we discussed in the past. I don't know if we have time now to repeat it. Is Os Zion? Again, I'll just show you where it is in my edition. Os Zion appears here on pages Ches and Tes. And he has a sugya, which I'm not going to have time for right now. I think we discussed it at great length. At the end of Masechta Zvachim, on Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amid Beis. And the Gemara assumes that in the case of a carbon that was brought shelo lishma, there's a whole new set of regulations that apply to that akrava. And you'll see a paragraph there, if you get a chance to go through it, called Od Nira Lo Chiach Ken. If you can tell me what page it's on, I'll announce the page number.
Yes.
Page test, great. It's also on page test in my volume. Od Nira Lo Chiach Ken. And you'll go through that, but the main line that you want to get to, which is about two-thirds down the paragraph, he says, the L'chol Karbon, that with regard to Akrovas HaKorbanos, Beis Torah HaKrova, the two sets of regulations that govern Akrova, one is called Akrova Lishma, and the other is called a Akrova Shelo Lishma. And this has various nafkevinas when you have Akrova Shelo Lishma. One of the possibilities, at least this is what crossed the Gemara's mind, is that since Lavik Dushayu Kaimig, which means that the Akrova is not Akrova Lishma, but now the Shelo Lishma is impacted on the carbon itself, is that the law of Shelo Yichashev would no longer apply. Since again it's Akrova of Shelo Lishma, so once it's Akrova of Shelo Lishma, the regulations that enjoin him from the Avodos, that the Avodos have to be Lishma because of Lo Yechashev, that doesn't apply anymore. That was the Havamin in the Gemara. And the Gemara's Maskana is no, within the context of a Torah's Hakrova Shelo Lishma, we still require that every avoda be done with the proper mashal. Okay. Now, Rabosai, we want to study two Rambams in Hilchas Psulei HaMukdoshim. One Rambam is in Perek Yud Ches, and then we're going to go back to Perek Tesvav. The Rambam writes in Perek Yud Ches, you'll see it here on page Chaf Hei, which is also here, or Os Chaf Hei. What happened to you, Don? You don't have a copy of the book?
I don't know what happened to it.
I got lost?
I don't know what happened to Aleph.
Yeah. Aleph is lost?
Ben might have taken it.
That's a shame. Okay. See, I'm trying to exempt myself from having to photocopy these pages.
No. Don't worry.
All right. This is the Rambam's language. It may be familiar to you. We've discussed this in the past. Again, it's Os Chaf Hei. I don't want to even mention the daf in case you have a different. He says the following: Kol hamachashev machshava she'ena nechona b'kodshim hareza over below sase. Anyone who has a coin has the wrong machshava violates a lo sase. Shareyu Omer, the Torah says, Lo Yechashev. Mipi Ashmuel Lomdu. In other words, Torah Shmuel Peh is going to teach us what Lo Yechashev, what constitutes a violation of this law of Lo Yechashev. Shebechlal Din Zehu Shelo Yafsid HaKodshim B'machshav. Rabbo, say again, I think I've asked this question in the past, let me ask it again, and hopefully I'll get the right answer. What does the Rambam say here? What is the definition of this lav in the Torah called Lo Yechashev?
Hefsed
Kodshim, correct? That through his machshava, he's mafsed the Kodshim. And the Rambam gives a perfect example, an equation. He says, Hareza Dome, if he had this machshava poselis and he was mafsed the Kodshim, Hareza Dome le matil mum be Kodshim. Because what happens when you make an incision into the animal's body in the case of kochim, and it becomes a balmum. What's the result of that? It's parcel of his back, right? So he parcels the carbon. Here also, says the Rambam, if he has a machshava poseles, he parcels the carbon. So it comes out that the definition of the Isur Lav of Lo Yechashev is a machshava that parcels the carbon. Our sugya comes to the exact opposite conclusion, because Rava says in our sugya, even though he had a machshava of shalol lishma in the shechita, which means the carbon is already a carbon of shalol lishma, nevertheless, he's not permitted to have a machshava shalol lishma at the time of what? Of the zrika. Everybody with me on that? Again, he had already a machshava shalol lishma at the time of the shechita. What changes in the status of the carbon if he would have another machshava shalol lishma at the time of the zrika? Then again, I'm asking you what changes on a scale from 0 to 100. What changes if he has another additional machshava shalol lishma at the time of the zrika, when he already had a machshava shalol lishma at the time of the shechita? On a scale from 0 to 100, zero. Baruch Hashem, we're on the same page. Okay, good. So zero, nothing has changed. He was not mafsid the kodshim at all. And yet, Rava says he violates the law of Lo Yechashev. The Rambam says that the violation of Lo Yechashev is because who mafsid es ha-kodshim. He is pasling the kodshim. That's not true. Our Gemara says that even if he doesn't pasle the korban, he's nevertheless in violation of Lo Yechashev. That's called in the Gemara's language, B'kedushas ha-kayme. How do we reconcile our Gemara with the Rambam? The plot grows thicker. Let's go back from Perek Yudches to Perek Tesvav in the Rambam. The Rambam writes the following. This is the paragraph that says V'ayin for those of you who have the text. Asur l'chashev b'kodshim machshava she'ena nechona. Kamoshi Yisbayar. Kamoshi Yisbayar means we've already seen Kamoshi Yisbayar. That's in Perek Yudches. L'fichach Zavach. I'm sorry. Zevach. Sheshachto shelo lishma, chayov lahashlim shar avodos lishman. The Rambam here in Perek Tesvav is codifying our sugya of Rava, and he's telling you that later on in Perek Yuches I'm going to clarify and embellish this concept that it's also to have a machshava that's not the proper machshava. Here in Perek Tesvav, what impression do you get from the Rambam? Is the Iser A or B? Is the Iser of Lechashev Machshava Sheina Nechona because he's pasling the carbon? Or is a separate Iser of Lo Yechashev? The Maisa Avera here is the Machshava Shalom Nechona, even without the Hefsid of Kodshim. Is it A or B, Rabbi Osai? In Perek Tesvav, nobody's listening to me.
It's B.
B, which one was B? the Maisa Machshava, right? Yeah. The Machshava itself is prohibited, because the Rambam writes, L'fichach, Zevach Sheshachto Shalom Lishma, Chayav Lahashlim Shara Avodas Lishma, because the Torah says, Lo Yechashev, that you're enjoined from having a Machshava Shalom Lishma, even though you're not being mafsid of the carbon. The Machshava Shalom Lishma during the Avod is itself an Avera, in and of itself, independent of its impact or lack thereof on the Karban. And yet the Rambam says, Kemoshi Yisbayar, and he points to Perek Yudches. How could the Rambam, on the one hand, in Perek Tesvav, define the Avera of Lo Yechashev as a Machshava per se, the Machshava Shalom Lishma? On the other hand, in Perek Yudches, he says, because he's being mafsid the Kodshim. So the answer is, and we discuss this at great length, when the Rambam says that because in Perek Yudches he's being mafsid the kodshim, the Rambam doesn't mean that he's being mafsid the kodshim befall, meaning in actuality this machshava per se at that moment in time passes the karma. The Rambam can't be meaning that, but rather the Rambam is trying to tell you, what's your barometer, what's your shiur of a machshava poselis? And what the Rambam is telling you, that maybe in this particular set of circumstances, the Machshava would not pasul the Karban, because in fact it's already pasul by virtue of the Machshava at the time of the Shemitah, right? But nevertheless, if I can define it as aza machshava, that this machshava per se could potentially generate a hefsek kachim, that's included in the lav of lo yichoshev. Is therefore he says etzem machsheves hapsul he averes halav afilu mulo posel asakorman. When the Rambam says in Perek Yudches, the Isur is kematil mum bekodshim, what he's trying to tell you is that the Isur is to have a machshava which has the potential bekocha to pasul this karbon, just like in the case of mum. Again, the Gemara says in Menachos that matil mum bebal mum chayov. You hear this, Rambam say? What does it mean, matil mum bebal mum chayov? There already is a mum in the karbon, and he adds another mum to the karbon. He's chayav for violating the Isur of Hatolos mum. That's what the Rambam wants to accomplish here in this equation. He's making an equation between a machshava poseles and the case of matil mum bekarbon. He means matil mum bebal mum. Even though the Isur is not because he's passing the behemoth as a bal mum, it's already possible of his bech, it's already a mum, got a mum, but nevertheless he's doing an action which would, under the face of the sky, would have the potential of passing the karbon. That's a shear in the Mais Avera. The Mais Avera is such that it could passel the karbon. So Rambam says the same thing, what did in a case of Machsheves Lo nechona machshava poselis. If that machshava is so powerful that it would generate in under other circumstances, if the karbon wasn't possible, it would generate a psul in the karbon, then he violates the law. But now we have a sugya that seems to contradict the Rambam. And this is a sugya on daf mem vav amid beis. If you open up to Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis, the Mishnah establishes L'shem Shisha Dvarim HaZevach Nizbach, which means that you have six different facets, if you will, of the correct machshava which is required for the kohen to have during the avodah. And this means that L'chatchila, at least, you need that the asiya be l'shma. So the Brisker Rav has the following question. How could the Rambam possibly say that you have to be mashlim all the avodos of lishma, even though you started on the wrong foot? So the shechita was shalom lishma. The Rambam says no, but you still have to go ahead with the other avodos and have a machsheves and machsheves lishma. And the Rambam derives that from the Isur of lo yechashev. Why does the Rambam have to derive that from the Isur of lo yechashev? The Mishnah itself tells me l'shem shisha dvarim hazevach nizbach, which means that you're required to have these kavonos of lishma throughout the avodos of the karbon. So forget about the lav of lo yichoshev. The Rambam sees the basis case; he's standing on the shoulders of lo yichoshev. Shita, isn't it davar pashut she'asal amshif alavet shelo lishma? When the Mishnah itself requires lishma in all the four avodos, why did the Rambam have to come on? What compelled the Rambam to introduce here lo yichoshev? So the Brisker Rav, based on this kasha, wants to prove that if a carbon is possible, there is no longer a din of asiyah lishma. In other words, that Mishnah of l'shem shisha dvarim azevach nizbach only applies if the carbon is kosher. I'll read it to you inside. This is the lashon of the Brisker Rav. Carbon should nifsal if already the carbon is possible. Kvar, if it's already possible at the time of what? The shechita is ein bo din asiyah lishma. There's no din of asiyah lishma. The Mishnah that requires lishma l'shem shisha dvarim hazevach nizbach would not apply once there was a psul in the karbon of shelo lishma. Says the Rambam, there's another reason why he has to be mashal in the avodas lishma, not because of the requirement of lishma, but because there's a separate lav on a machsheva shelo lishma, on a machsheva poselis. So as far as requiring in a positive sense these machshavos, that's already lost, that's already gone, that's history, because he already had a machshava poselis and the carbon is possible. But the Rambam wants to be mechadesh that even dal miyach, even without the requirement of having machsheves lishma, there's still another violation here that he has to avoid. Not the non-compliance with the requirement of lishma, but the violation of the isa lo yichashev when he happens to machsheves shalo lishma. Okay. Now we get to the discussion about this carbon. Again, on Daf Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara establishes that this carbon that was shechted shelo lishma, it loses its status as what? Help me out here, Jeff. As what? As a neder. And now it takes up the status as what? As a nedava. So the Gemara says that even if it has the status of a nedava, the requirements of lo yechashev, which means that the kohen is enjoined from having a machshava posela, still applies in all four avodos, in a nedava no less than in a neder. Okay. Yesh lachkar, this is Simon Chaf Vav, b'nedava, ishayach b'inami haidina delo olu l'shem chova, o dekebe de b'melei no chayv b'yachrus ein tzarch lo v'yachkeres lo shayach b'yach dina. So if I were to ask you for a knee-jerk response to this question, a carbon is now a carbon nedava. Is there a din of lo olu l'bailim l'shem chova? What would be your knee-jerk response? Of course not, because how can you even mention the words of lo olu l'bailim l'shem chova with regard to an adama? There is no chova. Oh. So here he has a chiddush based on a shita mekubetzes. Okay, let's go back to Rashi on the Mishnah. And we'll see what the Shita Mekubetzes finds in Rashi. This is four lines down from the top of Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Lo olu l'bailim l'shem chova. So Rashi says, V'tzorech l'havi acher l'chovaso olinidro. Rashi's a little bit strange here. What does he mean? L'chovaso olinidro. What's the language here?
Chova would be an oila, and neder is a shlamim.
Well, again, the Mishnah says lo ol l'bailim l'shem chova. So obviously we're talking about a chova, and if it's lo ol l'bailim l'shem chova, he has to replace it with a chova. Why does Rashi have to say l'chovaso olinidro?
That's what I said. Ola is a choiva because he missed a mitzvah aseh. He's got a choiva to bring in Ola. And the neder is shlamim. He was not there, a shlamim.
Again, he says l'chovaso l'nidro, meaning whatever the carbon is, he has to replace it with l'chovaso l'nidro. I don't know.
Well, you're saying it's all chova because he said something about it.
So let's listen to what the Shita Mekubetzes wants to say in Rashi. The Shita Mekubetzes says the following. When Rashi says, V'tzarch lo v'acher l'chovaso ol nidro, hayu dafka b'neder shuchayev b'achriyuso, that what Rashi wanted to emphasize is the chiyuv achrayus. We'll have to figure out in a second what that means. Avol nidova. Nidava means where he said aray alai, and if he says aray alai, there's no chiyuv achrayus.
No, aray zu.
I meant to say aray zu, I'm sorry. Then in such a case, ishachet shelo lishma, if he was in a case of nidava, then, right, because Rashi says here again, let's read the Rashi. V'tzarech lo v'acher l'chovaso ol l'nidro v'ishchetenu lishma. In other words, he messed up on the first carbon and he had a shechita shelo lishma. Now he's going to bring a second carbon to replace the first one, and Rashi says this time get it right. He should shecht it lishma. Says the Shita Mekubetzes that Rashi is coming lafuke a carbon edova. Our benedova. So again, when Rashi says that the second time around he has to shecht it lishma, what is Rashi trying to avoid? Meaning, what do we want to save this person by doing the second round of Shema? That he shouldn't have to bring what? A third carbon, an infinitum. That only applies in the case of a neder. In the case of a neder, when he says a real lie, so he has achrayus. And if this one is not kosher, he's going to have to replace it with a second one. So Rashi says, better get it right and have a shechita l'shma. But in the case of an Adaris, as the Shita Mekubetzes, if he would have a shechita of shalol l'shma, then he would not have to bring a replacement karban because he has no achrayas. Even if, says the Shita Nevad, if the karban would be completely lost, he would not have to replace it with another karban. Came in the Enu Chai Bach Riyuso. So in other words, the difference between a neder and a dova, says the Shita Mekubetzes, is because an adava doesn't have a responsibility to replace it. But on the other hand, even though he doesn't have a responsibility, if this nedava is not replaced, but nevertheless, the nedava could be a fulfillment of his nedava, right? What did he take upon himself? He took upon himself a neder of what? Of hare zu, like in the case of a nedava, hare zu. And therefore, he now has to bring this nedava. What happens if the nedava is shechted shalol l'shma? So the Shita Mekubetzes says, in such a case, he doesn't have to replace the karban, because in the case of a nedava, he doesn't have any achrayas to replace it. He just isolates this karban, and that's it. He has no responsibility beyond this karban. So he says, mikol makom, shayach be'ach din, delo also l'shem chova. Correct? So when Rashi says, that he either has a chova or a neder, the Shita Mekubetzes understands that the neder itself is an adava, right? The neder itself is an adava, and yet Rashi says that he has to shecht it l'shma. So you see that even in the case of an adava, you need a shecht it l'shma. Now, what's nafkamina in the case of an adava? What difference does it make whether or not he shechted it l'shma? In any event, he's not going to have to replace it, even if the carbon is possible, because it's only a nidava. Nidava doesn't have any achrayas. But included in our Mishnah is the Mishnah saying that if it was shalol l'shma, then it's lo ol l'bailim. What does it mean, lo ol l'bailim? In other words, he hasn't fulfilled his obligation b'tars nedava. We can't force him to bring another karban because he has no achrayas. But yet, lo ol l'bailim l'shem chova, meaning chovas nedava. So let's go over this one more time. He says, from the fact that the Shita Mekubetzes learns in Rashi that in the case of a neder where he has achrayus, then if he shechts it shalol l'shma, he's going to have to replace it a second time or a third time. But in the case of Nedava, says the Shita Mekubetzes, if we shecht it shalol l'shma, he doesn't have to replace it. That means that our Mishnah, when it says lo ol l'bayim l'shem chov, is addressing even the case of Nedava, according to the Shita Mekubetzes. Just that he doesn't have to replace it. Notice the only addition, the only change that happens here in the case of Nedava is that he doesn't have to replace it if it was shecht it shalol l'shma. But the Mishnah itself applies even to an Adava where he said a Rezu, and now he shechted Shalol Lishma, and therefore lo ol l'bayim l'shem chova. Again, the only nafkamina here is Chafei Shmaya. It's not befall. We're not going to be able to force him to bring another karban. He has no achrayas. But yet the karban is lo ol l'bayim l'shem chova, even in the case of a Nedava. So we made a mistake here. We thought that if it's an Adava, then you cannot apply the language of lo ol l'bayim l'shem chova to an adava, because an adava is not a chova. But the answer is, once he takes upon himself an adava, he has a chiyuv now to bring this carbon to the mizbeach, and he only could fulfill that chiyuv if the shechita was done l'shma. If the shechita was not done l'shma, he has not fulfilled this chiyuv. Does he have to replace the carbon if the shechita was shalol l'shma? The answer is no, because that's the din of nedavas. The Shita Mekubetzes says there's no achrayas. But has he fulfilled his requirement and his mitzvah to bring the carbon nedava? The answer is no, because it was shalol l'shma. So basically, in terms of whether ol l'bayim l'shem chova or not, there's no difference between a carbon neder and a carbon nedava. To the same extent that in the case of shalol l'shma and a neder, it's lo ol l'bayim l'shem chova, so too in the case of nedava, if it was shalol l'shma, it's lo ol l'bayim l'shem chova. The only nafkamina says, the Shita Mekubetzes, is whether we can force him to bring a replacement karma. Okay. Now this leads to a major, major chakir, and that's in number of Zion, if you have it. And that is when we say lo olu lebailim l'shem chova. Does that mean that we completely cut the umbilical cord? There's no longer a connection, a relationship between this carbon and the bailim. That's what it means. Lo olu lebailim l'shem chova. In other words, now the carbon becomes, shall we say, a nameless, anonymous carbon. It's not related to any particular bala carbon, as if to say that there's an obligation that's incumbent upon, let's say, Bezdin, you know, to bring this carbon. But on behalf of whom? On behalf of no one, because lo olu lebailim l'shem chova, and the bailim are completely disconnected from this carbon. Or no. There's still a shame bailim olav. The carbon is still being brought on behalf of the bailim, even though the carbon itself will not be a fulfillment of the bailim's chiyuv. They'll have to, in order to achieve the ritzui, bring another carbon. But still, the carbon is related to the bailim. The shame bailim olav. We're going to soon see the nafkaminas, but first I want you to get the abstract chakira. And on this issue, there are two sugyas. One is quoted by Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky to prove that there's no shame bailim olav, and another sugya that's quoted by the Brisker Rav to prove on the contrary that there is shame bailim olav. One sugya is here in Zvachim at the end of the Masechta, the other sugya is in Masechta Nazi. So let's start with the easier one, I think. It's the second one, and that's the Brisker Rav based on the Gemara in Nazi. So again, if you have Os Chav Zayin, then look for a paragraph that starts Ve'hagriz. Yechiel, you have it up on your screen?
Yeah.
Ve'hagriz. You have the way by the whole Sefer on your screen?
No.
No. Only what you took a picture of?
Only what, yeah.
Oh, I got you.
Forward.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering if there's any way of getting this Sefer online. No, I don't think so. Right. It's barely available anywhere, you know. Oh. So what does the Mishnah say in Masechta Nazir on Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis? There's a machlokas between Rav Shimon and Rabbanon about the following case. A Nazir, when he brings his karbonos, he has to be mekayim another mitzvah called Giluach. So he's got to shave his head at the termination of his Nazirus. What happens if the karbon was brought Shelo Lishma? In other words, until the carbon is brought, there's no kiyum of tiglachas nazi. And now the carbon is in this kind of, shall we say, twilight zone. Why? Because the shechita was done shelo lishma, which means that we apply the principle of our Mishnah, that it's kosher, but it's lo olu lebailim l'shem chova. So Rav Shimon says that also lo tiglachto, that if accompanying this carbon he does the tiglachas, he doesn't have to repeat the mitzvah of tiglachas, he fulfills his mitzvah of tiglachas. So the Gemara says, why? How can Rav Shimon say such a thing? After all, the carbon was shechted shelo lishma, and the tiglachas is dependent upon, contingent upon the carbon and the kiyum carbon. So the Gemara answers that Rav Shimon holds that even if he brings a carbon nidava, which is called a shalmei nidava, that's enough for him to be yotzei the mitzvah of tiglachas nazir. And therefore, in this case, we brought a shlomim b'taras chova, but it was shechted shelo lishma. Therefore, what din does it get?
Nidava.
A nidava. The din is, according to Reb Shimon, that in a carbon nidava, also lo tiglachas. Says the Brisker Rav, wait a minute. If it's lo olu lebailim l'shem chova, it means that now the carbon is completely severed from its relationship to the bailim. How could he, the nazir, be yotzei his mitzvah tiglachas? This carbon is not related to him. So you want to tell me that Reb Shimon holds that he could bring a shalmei nedava? Fine, he could bring a shalmei nedava, but that's only because he brought a shalmei nedava and the shechita was done with shema. And therefore, he fulfills the mitzvah of Shalmei Nazir, Vitaris Nedava, and that's enough to clinch his Tiglachas Nazir. But in this case, where the carbon was shechted Shelo Lishma, correct, it's called a Nedava. But it's a Nedava that's not related to the Bailim at all. And if it's not related to the Bailim at all, how could the How can the Bailam, in this case the Nazir, fulfill his mitzvah of Teglachas Nazir? So this was the great chiddush of the Briska Rav, that when it says in our Mishnah, Lo olu l'bailam l'shem chov, it doesn't mean that the carbon is completely severed in its relationship to the bailam. There's still shem bail of olav, and therefore in the case of a nazir, Reb Shimon insists, he can be yotzei his mitzvah of tiglachas nazir through this carbon that was brought shalom l'shmo. However, there's another sugya at the end of Zvachim. And this is the sugya that Rav Yechezkel Abramsky quoted to prove that lo olu l'bayil l'shem chova means that the karbon is completely severed, it's completely disconnected from the bayil. And this is the sugya daf kuf gimel. The Gemara vacillates about the status of a karbon olo. You know that a karbon olo, of course, is kule kolil, but the only thing we can strip from the karbon and we can benefit from the karbon olo is the orot. Correct, the orot. And the Gemara wants to know what would be in the case of the or. Do the bailim have a right to the or if the karbon was shechted shalol l'shma? And the Gemara needs a special pasuk ha'ish that it says in the parasha olos ha'ish to include the bailim as far as the or, even in the case where the carbon was shechted shalol l'shma. Now, in a carbon that shechted shalol l'shma, let's say an ola that was shechted for the sake of a shlomim, the din is lo ola l'bailim l'shem chova. Right? And the Gemara has a havamina that in such a case, the bailim have no rights to the or. So Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky says, mevuar, to be in on ribui, we need especially Alfusa to teach me that Ola Shanishkata Shalol Shma Akati Orola Bailam, that the R still belongs to the Bailam. What was the Havamina? Why do we need the Pasuk of Ola Sa'ish? After all, it's his carbon Ola, he brought the Ola, he has rights to the R. What was the Havamina to say that he's bumped off from the rights to the R just because the Kohen had a Machshava Shalol Shma? Hainu Mishum Delo Mikri Ola Sa'ish. That in the Havamina, if not for the special drasha, that the zikui, that the Torah was mezakeh the or, even in this case, we would have said that's not included in olas each. Why? Because once the shechita was shalol l'shma, and therefore the Mishnah says lo ol l'bailim l'shem chova, it's no longer connected to the bailim, and they have no rights to any part of the carbon, including the or. Muchach, he says, you see from this that the carbon is lo also l'shem chova v'lo mikri olaso. It's not considered olas ha'ish. It's not his carbon ola, and therefore he has no rights to the or. And Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky sees in this sugya that undermines the rights to the bala carbon to the or a proof that lo also l'bailam l'shem chova in the case of shalol l'shma means that the bailam are no longer the bailam of the carbon. And basically what we're left with now is two sugyas that sosra zuzu, because we started with the sugya in Nazir Amemvav. There the sugya assumes that he still is connected to the carbon, therefore he can be yotzi the mitzvah of Tiglachas Nazir. And now the sugya of R says that the Bailam should be bumped off their rights to the R because lo olu l'bailam l'shem chov in the case of shalol l'shma. So the Rosh Hashiva writes the following, Yesh Lidchos. He wants to reject the raya of Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky. The Kevon de Din HaKarbon L'Ratzos Al Chovoso V'Eina Maratza L'Kach Lo Mikri Ola She'Olso L'Ish. He wants to say the following, that Eino Chinami for certain dinim in certain aspects, even after Shalol L'Shma and Lo Olso L'Bailam L'Shem Chova, the Bailam are still related to the Karbon. The Karbon is in some sense his Karbon. But that's not enough to achieve what we call rights to the carbon itself. The rights to the carbon, the schus that the Torah gives to the bailam to the carbon, reflects what we call the ritzui carbon. If you're the bailam as far, so there are two dinim of bailus in carbon. One din is bailus as far as ritzui is concerned, and then there's a general din of bailus even when there's no ritzui. And we have to, in every single case, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of a din bailus do we need? Do we need the full-fledged bailus of ritzui, or it's enough this partial bailus that applies even when he forfeits the ritzui? And here's the nafkamina. In the case of tiglachas nazir, All I need is that the Karban relate to the Bailim. I don't need that the Bailim be the Bailim as far as Ritzui is concerned. And whereas in the case of R, I need the full-fledged Bailus of Bailus Linyan Ritzui. And then Afkamini is going to be Shalol Lishma. In the case of Teglachas Nazir, Reb Shimon Shita is that even though the Karban, this Karban Shlomim that was brought at the Tom at the ending of his Nazirus, was brought Shalol Lishma. And even though now with Mafkia the Bailim, the Nazir in this case from Ritzui, nevertheless he still has enough Bailus such that the Karban is brought on his behalf. And if the Karban is being brought on his behalf, that's all we need in order to trigger off a kiyum of what? Tiglachas Nazir. Do you follow? So Tiglachas Nazir is connected to the Karban in a very weak kind of connection, namely that there's a kiyum of a Karban Nikra al Shma, even though he doesn't have Ritzli with this Karban. And that's enough to clinch the Tiglachas Nazir. But when we get to the Schus in the Karban itself, here we need what's called Bailus Shel Ritzli, a full-fledged Bailus on the Karban. And if the Karban Shechtin Shalol Lishma, then he doesn't have rights to the Or of the Karban. Now he has a Ramban. Okay. He has in fact two Rambans. And the Ramban seems to contradict himself. And now we're going to see if in this framework we can possibly reconcile these two Rambans. Amazing amount of Yedias here, by the way. Okay. The Ramban wrote a book called Milchamas Hashem. And you'll find it in the Talmud Bavli on the Rif. And he says something in Masechta Sukkah, and he says something entirely different in Masechta Bava Kama. So we're going to try to understand these two Rambans and figure out if they contradict each other or maybe they don't. Okay. Now, you may recall from your travels through Shas, through Bava Kama, that there's something called Kinyan Gzela. That a Gazel, when he steals something, the halacha, it's a very strange halacha, recognizes his rights to the object. Which might mean that if the karma, if the object that he stole goes up in value, he gains the increment. It might mean that if the sheep, you know, the sheep grows wool, then the wool accrues to the Gazlan. But there are various stages in Gzela. There's what's called Shini Rishus, there's Yeush. So in any event, the Ramban in Masechta Sukkah is addressing the following case. There was a stolen karban, and the balat karban was misyayish. So we have now Gzela and Yeush. Now, could this karban, which was stolen after Yeush, be brought on the Mizbech? Now, let's not get sidetracked here with there's another sugi here that overlaps. That's called Mitzvah Bo Ba'Avera. But let's assume there's no Mitzvah Bo Ba'Avera for whatever reason. So the Ramban says that the Karban is kosher. And he asks the following question. Vamai Hakanya Gavoa B'Yeush V'Shini Rishus. The Ramban assumes in Kodshim that the owner of the Karban is not the full-fledged owner of the Karban. In some sense, the Karban belongs to Gavoa. He has rights to the Karban, but if the Karban was stolen, and not only that, there was Yeush and Gzela. Gzela means Shini Rishus in this case. So Ramban says at that point the ownership of the Karban reverts back to its original owner with a capital O, and who's that? Gavoa. So therefore, at this point, the Kinyonim of the Magdish, who sanctified this Karban and designated for his obligation, is completely null and void. And that's the power of Yeush and Shini Rishus. Says the Ramban, Nehi nami de magdish lokanya, nehevi kishochet shalo lishman de kosher elish lo olu lebailu l'shem chova. The Ramban says that the reason why we could be makir of this carbon on the Mizbeach even though the Kinyanim Bailim are completely undermined through Yesh and Shina Rishus, is because it's not worse than the case of a Karban of a Bailim that was Shechted Shalol Lishma. And we're going to be makir of the carbon on the Mizbeach, even though it's lo'ol l'bailim l'shem chova. In other words, the Ramban's proof that a carbon that has no bailim is kosher l'mizbeach is from our sugya of a carbon shalol l'shma. So we see clearly that when the carbon is shechted shalol l'shma, and the halacha is in our Mishnah, ain't lo'ol l'bailim l'shem chova, it's equivalent to a case of nigzal, of gzela, b'shinu rishus, with yeush, and there's no bailus whatsoever on this karma. Are you following the logic here? We have two cases, and the Ramban is comparing them. One case is shalol l'shma. The other case is after gzela, there was shini rishus and yeush. The Ramban says, how can you bring this carbon after Shini Rishus and Yeish? There's no longer bilus on the carbon. The Ramban says, no. Even without bilus on the carbon, there's still a din of Hakrova, as long as the carbon is kosher. And what's the paradigm for the Ramban of a carbon that has no bilum, and yet we're going to be makriv on the Mizbeach, which the Ramban's chidush here in the case of Gzela, our Mishnah of Shalom Lishma. That when the Mishnah says Shalom Ol L'Shem Bailim L'Shem Chova, it means the bailus of the carbon is completely undermined, and it's equivalent to the case, says the Ramban, of Gzela after Shini Rishus and Yeush. And therefore, we see clearly that according to the Ramban, there's no bailus on the carbon whatsoever in the case of Shalom L'Shma. And just like the Ramban says in the case of Yeush, there's no chisar nakrova. In other words, the fact that there's no bailim doesn't in any way block or barricade us from bringing the carbon to Mizbeach. So too, in our case, of a carbon without any ritzui, and not only that, it's lo'ol l'bailim l'shem chova, there's no relationship, there's no bailus of the original bailim on the carbon, nevertheless, we are makir of the carbon. So the Ramban has a halacha here that we can makir of a carbon without bailus, in the case of shalol l'shma, it's kosher, and lo'ol l'bailim l'shem chova, there's no ritzui whatsoever, the bailim are completely cut off in this karbon, and nevertheless, we're going to bring the karbon. So at this point, we present the following thesis that the Ramban holds like Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky, just 1,000 years earlier, and he holds that a karbon that was brought shalol l'shma is completely cut off from its original bailus. There's no ownership at all on the carbon, just like in the case of Shini Rishus and Yeush and Gzel. That's the Ramban in Masechta Sukkah in the Milchamas Hashem. Now, we're going to take a look at the Ramban in the Sugya of Gzel itself in Bava Kama. And this is Mem Aleph on the days in Dapi Arif. It would seem from the Ramban that he has the opposite premise. He's explaining Ula. Ula in Bava Kama Daf Samach Zayin says that Gozul is Pasul HaKrova, that a Behema Gzula cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. And the Ramban says the following, Divadai Gova Kani, he says that in this case of Gzela, the Kinyan is that of Gova. And why is that? Because of Shini Hashem or Shini Rishus. Gazlan, the Gazlan himself, doesn't have a kinyan. V'kevan she'ein lo bailim, heich yikarev. That Ula says the carbon is possible because it has no bailim. Hare makdish, lo kano me'olam, v'eino ru'uya likarev agami mizbeach. Wait a minute. In our Mishnah, it says that even though there's no bailim, the carbon is still kosher, and yet the Ramban assumes in Bava Kama, going to Ula, if in the case of Gozel there is no bailim, neither the Gozlan nor the Nigzal are bailim, then we can't be makir of the carbon on the Mizbeach. So Ula says the carbon is possible. Our Mishnah says the carbon is kosher. We're going to have to assume that our Mishnah holds that there is still bailim on the carbon, even though it was shechted shalol l'shma. Is mevuar the carbon, the less late bailim, ain't no karev. The Ramban's premise is in Bava Kama, if there's no bailim, according to Ula, there's no akrova the carbon. Vitzarach Loma Lefi said, the carbon shalom ol the bailim l'shem chov, in the case of shalom l'shma, is akati shem bailim olav, otherwise the carbon would be possible. And yet the Ramban equates the case of Shelo Lishma in Sukkah with the case of Gozel Yesh Plashini Rishus, which means there is no bilus. Now again, the Ramban in Bava Kama could not possibly accept that position that in the case of Shelo Lishma there is no bilus, because the Ramban maintains that a carbon that has no bilum is possible in his Mizbeach. And that's indeed why Ula says that a behemoth gzula is possible like Rava. So the Ramban in Sukkah is operating with a whole different premise here. The Ramban in Bava Kama doesn't have the luxury of accepting that premise. The premise of the Ramban in Sukkah is that the carbon after Shelo Lishma doesn't belong to the Bilum at all, but the Ramban is allowed to say that it's Nikra Valgami Mizbeach, because the Ramban says that Bilus on a carbon is not a precondition to Akrova. But the Ramban in Bava Kama is assuming that there's no such thing as Akrova on a carbon without Bilus, and therefore, in the case of Shelo Lishma, he still is considered the Bilum. So we have here two different perspectives of the Ramban, and maybe the Ramban is saying that it all depends on what's the din in Gozel. If you all like Ula in Masechta Bava Kama that Gozel no way no how could be brought in the Mizbeach, then we're going to have to assume that in the case of Shelo Lishma there is Bilus on the cover, therefore it could be Mikra. If on the other hand we accept the Shita in Sukkah that in the case of Yeush, etc., etc., and Gozel, you can be Makar of the carbon, it's kosher, then we're free to accept the position that, right, that even without Bilus, it's kosher. Then in the case of Shelo Lishma, there is no Bilus, and yet it's kosher. So that's what we have here. Now he quotes the Chofetz Chaim. He says the following. If we're going to assume that even after Shelo Lishma there is still Bilus on the carbon, he's considered a Bilum, then let's ask the following question. There's something in Karbonis called Shinui Hashem. Right? We've been talking all the time about Shinui Kodesh. But then there's something called Shinui Hashem. That's also Machshava Poselis. If let's say the Kohen has in mind not Reuven the Balak Karbon, but he has in mind Shimon, that's called a psul of Shini Shem. What would happen if the Shechita was done Shelo Lishma and the Zrika was done with the Shini Hashem? Would that Zrika of Shini Hashem, which theoretically could have been done by another Kohen, would that be a violation of Lo Yechashem? Because we've already established that even despite the fact that the carbon was possible by virtue of the Shechita Shelo Lishma, there still is an Iser Shelo Yechashev with the Zrika. But at the time of the Zrika, he had a Shini Bailim. Is there Shini Bailim on a carbon that's already Shelo Lishma? And l'chora, that should depend upon the machlokas between the Brisker Rav and Rabbi Chezkel Abramsky. Meaning, according to Rabbi Chezkel Abramsky, the Bailus of the carbon has been completely nulled and voided. We have completely undermine the bilus of the carbon once it's elo'ol, the bilus shem chover through the machshava shelo lishma. Therefore, there should be no possibility of a machshava lo nechona of shini bilum, because there is no bilum on this carbon. But if on the other hand we go with the Brisker Rav, then we're going to have to assume that since there's still bilus on the carbon, that there's be a machshava surah, machshava psua of shini bilum. He says the following. The Brisker Rav had a chakira here. He didn't know, would there be Shinui Bailim once there was a Shelo Lishma? And he says the following. Yesh Lachar, it depends. Should we say that just like he's not allowed, the Kohen is not allowed to have at the time of the Zrika Shinui Hashem, a Shinui Kodesh, so too he's not allowed to have a Machshav Shinui Hashem? Or should we say no? That Shini Bailum depends upon Kapara. What level of Bailus would generate a Machshava Psula of Shini Bailum? Remember, we had two categories of Bailus on the carbon. We had just a connection to the carbon, which was enough for Teglachas Nazir. And then we had a full-fledged bialus on the carbon, which means that it's the bialum as far as Rizui carbon is concerned, as far as the kaparas carbon. Now we don't know what level of bialus we have to have in order to generate an isur lo yichashev, a violation of the isur of Shinui Hashem. Instead of having Reuven in mind, the Kohen had in mind Shimon. And if it would have started with a shchita of Shinui Hashem, then for sure he would violate lo yichashev. But since he started with a Shinui of Kodesh and a Shalol Lishma, now we have to wonder whether or not the Shein Bialum still exists. Maybe the Shein Bialum is completely undermined. So if you go with Rabbi Chezkel Abramsky and he's assuming that there's no Shein Bialum, then for sure there's no din of Shini Bialum. But if you go with the Brisker Rav's assumption that the Bialum are still the Bialum of the Karban, and he has a proof of the Sugya Nazir, is that Bialum for Nazir enough to generate a psul and a Machshava Asura of Shini Bialum? The Shinui Bialum Tluya Bekapara. And that only applies when there's a Ritzi Karban. But Kevin the Shinui Shein Bialum means that he's changing the Ritzi of the Karban. But here in this case, there is no Ritzi on his behalf. That Bialus he certainly doesn't have. Is therefore Eini Solacha Velacha Vachsheva Shinui Bialum. So he quotes the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim writes that when it says also Lachsa or Lashanos Bey, when the Gemara here on Daf Beis Amid Beis says that even though he had a Shinui in the Machsheves Shchita, he's still not allowed to have a Machsheves Shinui in Zrika, he says Kosra Tosvis the Masnisen Dorish, Dereish Pirkan Iri Gam Beshinui Bailem. Tosvis at least entertains the possibility that when it says also Lachzor Lashanos for a second time, you can't have a Machsheves Shinui, it includes a Machsheves of Shinui Bialum. And came in the Daikina B'Gemara, Allah de Masnis de Mirikhtoni, Elosh Olashem Chova Mashba de Osl Lachzor Lashanos for Kai Diukaze Afal Shinui Bialum. So the Chofetz Chaim comes to the conclusion, based on the Tosfos, that when it says also lachso l'shanisbo, that even though he had already a machshavas shalol l'shma in the shkita, he's not allowed to have another machshavas shalol l'shma in the zrika. That would include even shini bialum, and that would be a further proof to the Brisker Rav's position that even after shini kodesh and lo'ol bialum shem chovah, there still is a bialus on the karban, and therefore the machshav of shini bialum kicks in. Now at this point, he has a sugya on Daf Tesamid Beis. As I said to you, this sefer weaves together so many different sugyas. And he says the following. What did he find on Daf Tesamid Beis? Nira lo chiyach t'machsheves shinu bailim eina tluya the Ritzui Karban, that you don't need the full bailus of Ritzui, of Ol Shem Chova, in order to generate a psul and an iser of Machsheves Shinui Bialum. The Afal Gavdolo Ol Shem Chova, Mikolokom Osul Lachashiv Shalol Shem Bialum. Meaning that all you need is that, what we call that minimum thin thread connection, very thin umbilical cord, back to the Bialum in order to generate a halach of Shinui Bialum. Even though it's not Ola L'Shem Chavasu and he has no Ritzu. Oh. What's the Sugyan Daf Tes? Karban HaBol Yachar Misa. We have a principle called Ein Kapar L'Mesin. So if Reuven was Makdish a Karban, let's say it was a Chatos, and then he died, then the Karban will be brought on the Mizbeach by the Yarshim, by the heirs, but there's no kapara element in this karban, and that's called ein kapara l'mesin. So now, yeah.
Isn't chatat shemetu ba'alim al korban that dies?
I didn't hear you. Is the chatat what?
Shemetu ba'alim.
One of the five, right, the mesin karban. So let's say karban asham. Maybe I'll give a different example. Yeah. Oh. So he says the following. That the Gemara establishes that in this case, that the carbon is being brought li'acham misa, and there is no kaparsa carbon on behalf of the original bialim, is af eno chashuv shel meis, even though you can't say that the bialim of the carbon is, as far as kapar is concerned, he's not considered the bialim of the carbon because he's already mes and ain kapar lemeisim. So that bialis we don't have. Mikol makom olu l'shem chova. Now, what does this mean, olu l'shem chova? Keep in mind that since the father, we'll call him, when he was alive, he took upon himself an obligation to bring this carbon, or the Torah imposed upon him an obligation to bring this carbon. Now there's a achrayus on the carbon. And as a result of this achrayus on the carbon, the son is going to have to bring the carbon. Now the question is, will the son be able to fulfill the obligation of this carbon, or will he have to replace the carbon with a second carbon? And that all depends upon whether the carbon was nikrav bekashrus. What happened? The Kohen went ahead and he had in mind a shinui bialim. He had in mind, not for the sake of the achrayus of the, we'll call him Reuven, you know, the father, but he had in mind for somebody else, for Shimon. And in such a case, the question is whether or not Chanoch ben Reuven is now potter, he's exempt from bringing the carbon. Would the Shini Bailim, the Machsheva Shini Bailim of the Kohen, in this case, undermine the fulfillment of this Chovas carbon, and therefore the Yarshim would have to bring a second carbon, or no? Would we apply the principle of Ola L'Shem Chova? Says the Rosh Hashiva, what do you mean Ola L'Shem Chova? There's no kapara here, there's no bailus, the bala karbon is gone, and ain kapara l'mason. So again, let's see, he says Hifrish karbon l'achrayus, he was responsible for this karbon, and now after he died, the karbon was brought Shalo L'Shma Umes, Sarach Lavi Karbon Acher. He has to bring a different carbon, meaning the Yarshim will have to replace this carbon with another carbon because of the principle of Lo Ol Lebail Meshem Chova. Now we're applying the principle of Lo Ol Lebail Meshem Chova in the case of Shalom Lishma, even though there's no kapar for the bailim. And that's as far as Shalom Lishma is concerned. But as far as Shini Bailim is concerned, let's say the Kohen had a Machshava not for the sake of Reuven, but for the sake of Shimon, is then the principle is based on a Sugyan Psochim, Ein Shini Bailim Liachar Misa. Why is there no Shini Bailim Liachar Misa? The answer is Alma. We see from this the Machsheva Shini Bailim Eina Tluy B'Masha Ola L'Shem Chova. Meaning, even though there's no possibility of a Kiyum Hakrova and a Kiyum Ritzui and a Kiyum Kapara in this case, because Ein Kapara L'Mason, nevertheless there could be Shini Bailim for this carbon. In fact, Shini Kodesh there is. So you see that there's still some connection to the Bailim, even though they have no kapara. Again, this is all based on the concept of achray. So it turns out that Reuven dies, the carbon is being nikrav al gabi mizbeach, there is no kapara on behalf of Reuven, and yet we're going to apply the principle of shinui bailim, that if there was a machsheva shinui bailim, then the heirs, we'll call them Chanoch, will have to replace the carbon with a different carbon. Or if there's Machsheva Shalo L'Shma, they'll have to replace the carbon. Why would they have to replace the carbon if there's no connection back to the Bala carbon? Let's see if we can get it again. Again, are you at least anywhere near me, or are you close? Are you far? Are you hot? Are you cold? He's saying the following: what's the relationship between a Machsheva Shini Bailim in the case of a carbon that's being brought liachar misa? if you're going to talk about a Shini Bailim, well, what connection is there to the Bailim? Ein kapar l'meisim. You can only say that there's a connection to the Bailim because of, by virtue of his bailus over the Karban. And then you can have a psul of Machshev Shini Bailim. But the Karban is not all l'shem chova in this case. There's no kapara on behalf of the deceased, on behalf of Reuven. So therefore, he's absent is his connection to the kapara sakarban. The only way that you can understand this sugya is if you assume that there's such a thing called bailus on a karban that transcends the eino olu l'shem chova, meaning even though the kapara is ripped out of his possession, he has no possession and no bailus over the of the kapara power of the karban because ain't kapara l'meisim. But nevertheless, there still is another halach of bailus such that the karban is nikral shmo, it's related to him. And now the Yarshim will say, well, we're bringing that karban that's Nikral Shem Avinu, and therefore we don't have to replace it with a second karban, even though the Machshava was Shalol Lishma. But in the case of Machshava Shini Bailim, where's the Shini Bailim over here? The answer is that there's a Bailus that transcends beyond and is not limited by the Kapara ownership, if you could say it. Okay, that's what he has over here. Now the next piece, we're going to end soon, but I just want to point out this next piece, which is called Sugya D'Stam L'Shma. I think we've done this in the past. I think we did a pretty good job. I'm going to look it over Shabbos B'li Neder and see if we missed any major pieces. And we did a piece on Mechashven Me'avoda L'Avoda. Do you remember that piece? Yeah, that was on Daf Tesamid Beis, and it was number Kuf Yud Beis. I looked it over and I came to the conclusion that we never actually finished that up. So I might want to go back to that. And last but not least, Hodas Baldin Gimea Eidim Domi. I don't understand Os Chav Gimel. I've spent a lot of time in Os Chav Gimel. This, you remember, is the end of Tosus that we covered yesterday. And we were talking about Tosus' proof that the word pasul in the Mishnah must be pasul agamre. I read it over quite a few times. I simply am perplexed. I can't get the cases down right. I don't know what to say. I don't want to throw in the towel because it looks like an exciting piece. We'll see. Maybe Hashem Yoyer Einenu, you know, over the weekend.
Can't we see this? Touched on beginning from that yesterday, that you can see from the diuk from the Mishnah, because we've got like three situations. We've got kasher,
right.
We've got pasul, and we've got kasher ela. It means, so it's, if it's kasher, it means it's 100% kasher.
Right.
Kasher ela means that.
Ain't all the Bible and Shem
Chol. And therefore, so what's pasul? Pasul must mean pasul legamre. You in the Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah is actually saying.
Okay, so you want to offer another answer to Tov's question? How do we know that the word pasul means pasul legamre? But take a look in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says kosher in the case of shalol lishma.
Ela
shalol all the Bible and Shem
Chol. It's kasher, which is means 100. Would have been 100%.
Oh, it's not for the Ela.
The Ela.
Then the kasher is sort of like
kasher minus,
like a theoretical kasher, so to speak. Here, in practical terms, it's lo ol l'bayil n'shem chova. And then we have something which is called posel, which means posel
agamre.
I hear? Very good. But I'm asking something else, Zev. Again, maybe your pshat is better than Tosus pshat, but I just want to understand Tosus pshat. Tosus says that from Shimon ben Azariah, I can prove that when he uses the word posel, he means it to be posel agamre.
That's right.
And that we don't know, because... Because
maybe that's the diuk of the Rebbe when he put together this Mishnah, right. And the kasher ela means at the bottom that either pasul is pasul legamre or kasher is kasher legamre. That's why I put the ela, that it's linking to the other part of the Mishnah.
But again, you know, Tosus sees it in a different light. Just that you have the respect for Tosus. I don't want you to lose respect for Tosus. Tosus is bothered by the following. we have here a machlokas between Shimon Achi Azariah and the Chacham. And the question is, in what case are they arguing? Is it the case of Gavoa or is it the case of Namuch? If it's the case of Namuch, then we must assume that the word posel in Shimon Achi Azariah's frame of reference means posel legamre. Otherwise, there's no machlokas about the case of Namuch. The Chacham also agree that Namuch is quasi-posel. It's not all l'shem bayil l'shem chova. Comes along Shimon ben Azari and he argues with the Chacham and he says posel means posel legamre. So Tosfos says, if we're focused on that issue, there's another possibility here that the machlokas between Shimon Achi Azariah and the Chachamim is with regard to Gavah, not with regard to Namuch. There's no machlokas about Namuch, Tosfos says. And the Gemara raises later on the possibility that maybe when Shimon Achi Azariah says in the case of L'shem Gavoh it's kosher, what he meant to say it's kosher viola l'bayach l'shem chov, it's completely kosher.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because, you know, the word kosher, as you said before, might tolerate shalol l'bayach l'shem chov, but not, according to this side, at least in the Gemara Sofek, not in the case of Shimon Achi Azariah. So Tosfos is bothered by the following. If you're telling me that the word kosher in the case of Shimon Achi Azariah takes on a new meaning and it means kosher in the case of Gavoa, and that's where he disagrees with the Chachamim, then maybe posel in Shimon Achi Azariah's lexicon in the case of L'shem Namuch is exactly what the Chachamim would say in the case of Shem Namuch, namely that it's posel in the sense that it's law all the Bible of Shem Chova, as opposed to kosher in the ratio, which the Gemara says that kosher means legamre. So if kosher means legamre in the ratio, meaning in the case of L'shem Gavoa of Shimon ben Achi Azariah, then posel would mean that it's not kosher legamre. What does it mean it's not kosher legamre? It's kosher, but it's not all the Bible of Shem Chova. In that sense, he's on the same turf as the Rabbanah. So Tosfos says, I'm going to prove to you that the word posel means posel legamre. And he says it from the case of Shlomim Sheshachtim L'shem Maser, which is called L'Namach Shemem. Here, he uses the word posel, Shimon Achi Azariah. He must mean that it's posel legamre. Now, how does Tosfos know that it means posel legamre? That's what I don't understand. It seems that he's contrasting the word posel in the case of Shlomim Sheshachtim L'shem Maser, which is L'Namach, with the word kosher in the case of Masa L'shem Shlomim, which is Gavah Shebahem. And if in that context it means kosher legamre, then for sure it means posel legamre in the flip side in the case of L'shem Namuch Shebahem Shlomim L'shem Bechar or L'shem Masa. Okay, that could be possible. But if you take a look at the language of Tosfos, it doesn't seem that Tosfos is saying that. Tosfos says the last line of Tosfos, "Vahainu le'inyan posel le'gamur dibibachar umasel lo shayach lo yalu le'bayon l'shem chova." And therefore, the word kosher means kosher legamre. So, what does he mean when he says that if the word posel in the case of Shlom L'Shem Olu would mean Lo Olu L'Bayim L'Shem Chova, then in the case of Bechar Maser he should have said it's completely posel. Well, why would it be completely posel? If it's L'Shem Gavoa, then let it be kosher even L'Gamre. There's some sort of mix up here in Tosfos, and I don't know. I looked in the Nefesh Tova and he confuses me even more, because he says that since there's a Rambam in Hilchos Chagiga that you can bring Maser from a Karma Chagiga from Maser, therefore Tosfos is completely off base. That was the Brisker Rav's kasha. I don't know why. Why should that be so? So that's where I got lost. You know, I don't know. I could probably spend another couple hours on this and still not understand. So I better make a quick decision on that. So B'li Neder, what I want to talk to you about next week is the case of what? Sorry, I lost it for a second. Of first of all, stumble lishma, just to go over that and see if we left anything out, and then he has another piece here on Mechashim Me'avod Lavod. So maybe we'll get to that next week. Let me wish everyone a great Shabbos. And we're moving along here. We're getting some progress, getting our feet on the ground so there'll be no Chatzitza, and therefore the Avod will be Avod Kshera. Okay.